All right, Matthew chapter 28, the last three verses, Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples after he suffered, died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He was here 40 days speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And these are his final words before he ascended back to heaven. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Some of your Bibles may have like a reference or a note on the top of that section that says the Great Commission. Yes, so many of the Bibles say that, the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned or authorized his disciples to make more disciples. And that, when he says, going to where it says every nation or all the nations, the word is ethnos, go into, reach every people group. I want to have disciples around my throne one day from every people group being together to worship me, for I want them in my family. So he told them to go. Now, Jesus' final words here were not just to 11 men 2,000 years ago, right? God is a father. And he paid an extreme price for us all to know him, to be forgiven, and to adopt us as his sons and daughters in his family. We personally know someone who has just recently gone through years of effort and expense to adopt some children. And they finally have made it official. But thank God he adopts us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we too then are called to not only be disciples, but to be disciple makers. And I know this may be new for many of us because we might hear that we want to, you know, follow Jesus or believe in him, however we may hear it and learn it even over the years. But what is a disciple and how do we even make disciples? I want to answer that here in the message today and then close with three marks of a true disciple of Jesus. So let me just give you a simple definition here real quick of what disciple means. There's a generic word, but I'm speaking of it today as a disciple of Jesus, okay? It means a committed learner and follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, a committed. Would you say committed? Committed. A committed learner and follower of Jesus. And as Brother Gary, I think, prayed or said earlier, he talked about walking by faith. And if we are going to follow Jesus, it's a walk of faith because he's not here and we can't see him. How am I supposed to follow him? But here is the first step. This is how we become followers of Jesus. We have to believe the truth of God's word that we have sinned and our sin condemns us and separates us from a holy God. Sin is in our heart. It's not like if something bad happens to someone, they really did something terrible. We've all sinned, the Bible says. So we recognize that sin separates us. Our sin separates from God. But the good news, he loved us so much that he gave his own son, Jesus, sinless, who would suffer and die on a cross to pay for our sins. And God raised him up again the third day. And when God's spirit makes that truth real to us, whether we're 5 or 105, it's always a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just me deciding, well, I'm gonna become a Christian. It's that work of God in our heart that says, I believe. And when we do that, God forgives all of our sins, makes us righteous before a holy God, not just forgiven, righteous, and adopts us into his family. Then as his followers and disciples, he calls us to reach others to say, come on. And here is the title of the message today. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's a scriptural truth. And I'll give you a reference for it before we're done. But follow me as I follow Christ. So again, once God forgives us, his spirit then enters us. He gives his spirit into our heart to help us follow Jesus because we can't do this without his help. But we follow Jesus by the power of his spirit, by following his teaching his word and his example. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a committed learner and follower. So how do we make disciples? Jesus tells us right here, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize people as a testimony that they now believe in Jesus and follow him. It's an outward indication of what God has done in our heart, just like a symbol of a covenant. A wedding ring means that I'm in covenant with someone. The covenant is from the heart, but the ring symbolizes it. Baptism is that symbol of the covenant. I believe in Jesus now, and I'm following him. So follow me as I follow Christ. And the Bible tells us that he goes on, he says this in verse 20, teaching them to observe how many? All things that I have commanded you. And then the Lord assures us of his presence as we do his will. He will be with us and he will empower us as we go about doing his will, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So that's the teaching there, just basically means instruction. And I like how the ISV words it. Let me just tell you how it says it there. When it says in the New King James, it says, go therefore and make disciples. The International Standard Version says it like this, as you go, make disciples. I like that because the idea there is, it's just as we go about our daily lives, as I go to work, as I go to the neighborhood, I go to the store, the gym, the classroom, whatever it may be, as you go, just look for opportunities to be a light for the Lord. That's really what it amounts to. So it's the idea is that I'm just going about my daily life, but I'm going about it as a follower of Jesus, and then I'm just sharing what I receive. Would you write this scripture reference down? It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll read it to you. We'll put it on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, two verses, verses 6 and 7. Follow me as I follow Christ. Would you say that with me? Follow me as I follow Christ. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them, follow me as I follow Christ? First Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 6, and you became followers. That's an important word there. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Do you see how that is? Jesus was not there at that time, but they were following the Lord ultimately as they were following his followers. So again, he says, became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, even though they were going through much affliction, they still had joy of the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of joy that God gives beyond circumstances and not limited to feelings. And then verse 7, first they were followers. Verse 7 says, so that they became what? So that they became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So do you see, we follow the Lord, and by following him faithfully, we then become examples for others to follow. That word in verse 6 that says you became followers is translated imitate in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In the New King James, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. But it's the same word for followers. The King James says, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's where the title of the message came from today. So follow me as I follow Christ. I believe we can have a tendency to think that it's just us in the, quote, ministry, or you got to have a title or a degree or whatever, that they're the ministers, but that's not how the New Testament presents it. As a matter of fact, I'll just share this with you. We call people today who follow Jesus Christians, and rightly so. That's accurate. You know how many times the word Christian is found in the Bible? 3 in the New Testament. But here's what it says the first time it's mentioned in Acts 11. It says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, but they were already called disciples. Disciples is found 273 times in the New Testament. Do you see how important, which one the Holy Spirit emphasized there? To be a disciple. Now, they're both really the same, but I think in our culture and mentality, we need to get back to that a little bit and not just be a name on a church roll, but be a follower, a committed learner and follower of Jesus, a true disciple. So that's the idea. So follow me as I follow Christ. But God has always and will always use, if I'm just to say, regular, ordinary, everyday people just like us to accomplish his will and expand his kingdom. He's not looking for super saints. He's looking for somebody who's willing and obedient to do what he says. You have a call on your life if you know the Lord. And I want to encourage you with that. I don't want to bash anyone. I want to try to build you up and encourage you to realize if you're following Jesus, man, God will use you. You just have, I did not think God could use me. I wouldn't stand up. It would literally almost make me sick to stand up and give an oral book report in school because I can't talk in front of people. All I can say is God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak to confound the strong. It's about him, never about us. But if we're just willing, he will use us. I want to encourage you. God will use you as you go about your daily life. Just be available and look for opportunities to serve the Lord. Not only do others need it, don't you know people need the Lord? They need to hear the good news, or how will they be saved and how can they be forgiven and come into the family of God? But it's not just for them. I really believe this. I've learned this, I think, over the years, that as we do our part to follow the Lord, it becomes a spiritual safeguard for us to keep us on track. And then because we're in fellowship with the Lord and doing what he says, he fills our heart with his joy. So it's safety and joy that we get to benefit from as well. Let me give you one more scripture, and then I'm going to give you these three characteristics of a disciple. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to write it down, is the pattern for how to make disciples. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is what the scripture says. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the only way any of us ever can be strong, is in God's grace. Verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these. Would you say commit? Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So here is the pattern. Mr. Sturkey, would you just stand right there where you are? You're the Apostle Paul for right now. Is that okay? I might be cracking a little bit here, sorry. David, do you mind standing right there? David's Pastor Timothy over there. So here is the pattern. The Apostle Paul invested his teaching and his example into Timothy. And Timothy received that. The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses. All right? Now, let me find someone. Sorry, y'all. Be a young man. Paul. He is. All right. All right. If it goes out again. On that phrase where it says commit, if y'all can still hear me, thank you. Okay. All right. If that phrase commit, I want to show you how it's translated, and then I want to close with these three marks of a disciple. In Mark chapter 6, verse 41, Mark 6, 41, the Bible says this. I think that's the wind coming through that door. And when Jesus had taken the five loaves, it sounds like the shofar, doesn't it? That's right. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, no. And when Jesus had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples in this phrase, to set before. Would you say set before?
Set before.
Before them is the same word that's translated commit in 2 Timothy. Commit, set before you. And then he goes on, he says this, the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. So here's the pattern. We take what we receive. We want to be good managers and stewards of it. And then we set it before someone else. And God will take it and use it and multiply it. That's the pattern of ministry. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, let me close with these three characteristics. In fact, would you turn with me to the book of Luke? If you're there in Matthew, just go over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Three marks of a true disciple. There are more than three, but these are three important ones. The Bible says this, Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is speaking, and he said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So here's the first mark of a true disciple is that disciples are Christ followers. Disciples are Christ followers because he says here that if we do not take up our cross and come after him, we cannot be his disciple. Jesus went on in this chapter to further teach that following Jesus does cost us sometimes. It costs us maybe pride, selfishness, greed, revenge, but there is a cost to following Jesus. He says, carry our cross. What does that mean? Jewelry? A shirt? No, it means I'm willing to deny myself and follow him and do like Jesus did for us. Not my will, your will be done. That's what it means to take up our cross in practical everyday life, to say, not my will. Here's my will, and here is God's. They're not going in the same direction. So I take up my cross as I say, your will, not mine. So we follow the Lord. And even though there is a cost, I'll say this. There is no comparison. No comparison to what cost it may be to us, to the riches of the blessings that we get by following Jesus in this life and the life to come. So to be a follower of Jesus, I don't know if some of you like me used to walk to school or not when you were a student. I walked to school from first through seventh grade. And when I attended the old Patrick Copeland school, we had a crossing guard. Her name was Ms. Rickman. I don't know if any of you remember Ms. Rickman. Well, we would come up to the street there, across from the Beacon Theater, I think, over that way and where the police department is now. And there was a path that we were to walk. It was a clearly defined path. It was a narrow path. But it was the right path and the safe path to get to the other side. It's called a what? A crosswalk. Following Jesus is a crosswalk. It's a clearly defined path. It's a narrow path, but it's the right path, and it's the safe path to get to the other side. Anybody want to get on the crosswalk? Follow me as I follow Christ. So the first mark of a true disciple is to be a Christ follower. Second, John chapter 8, would you turn there? So true disciples are Christ followers. And then John chapter 8, true disciples are also word doers. True disciples are Christ followers and word doers. This is what Jesus said, again, John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide or you remain in my word, you are my, there it is again, disciples indeed. And because you are abiding in the word, it's the word you know, not just that truth sets us free, it's the word we know. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know, that you believe, that you live, is what frees us. The Bible says we're to be doers of God's word and not what? Hearers only, why? Deceiving ourselves, right? So we don't want to deceive ourselves. So we want to be not only Christ's followers, we want to be word doers. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So there is a following of Jesus that we are word doers. That word, a word doer is we think on it and we live by its life-giving, liberating truth. There's power in the word of God. It says he's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is living. That's always, I ask the Lord to help me present it as it is. It's living and powerful, and I want to present it that way. I prayed for you this morning that the Lord would help me, like on the day of Pentecost, when each one heard the marvelous works of God in their own tongue, their own dialect, that somehow God would take this scripture and allow me to share it in a way that he would use and speak to every single heart, a rhema, a word in season that you need today. Follow me as I follow Christ. And if we do God's word, it shows that we actually do believe him, and it sets us apart from an unbelieving world. Because Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, and he said, Father, I'm not praying you take them out of the world, but that you would use them in the world. And I'm gonna send them forth, and I pray that you would set them apart, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So it separates us from an unbelieving world when we actually believe God's word and live it out. So true disciples are Christ followers, word doers, and fruit bearers. Would you join me in John 15? John chapter 15. True disciples are Christ followers, word doers, and fruit bearers. Would you say that with me? True disciples are Christ followers, word doers, and fruit bearers. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, that means of staying in a close fellowship, close relationship with him. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now we can do all kinds of stuff without the Lord, of sin and fruitless stuff, but we cannot bear fruit without him. So we have to stay in close. He's the vine and we've got to stay in close fellowship with him. If you drop down to verse 8, Jesus is continuing to speak and he says, by this my Father is glorified, how? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So again, it's staying in close fellowship with him in prayer, in worship, in scripture, in godly fellowship, in service. All of those are ways that we stay in close fellowship with the Lord. And I'll give you this last scripture in Luke chapter 6. Again, if you want to just write it down, Luke chapter 6, because this is the ultimate goal of discipleship. Jesus, again, said this, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. That phrase, perfectly trained, God willing, I want to share a second message on this to complete it next week. But I really want to go into that phrase and what it means from Ephesians, because it has the idea of being restored and mended and healed and trained and prepared. That's part of why we come together like this. It's so that we can be trained, equipped, in order to be able to go out to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, let's say I'm following a brother, and I'm following him because he's following the Lord, and he gets off the mark. He gets out of the crosswalk, so to speak, and he's not following Jesus. What should I do? Stop following him and find another godly person to follow and stay in the right path. People can get messed up if we don't heed that. Never thank God for every man and woman of God, godly examples, however, wherever they may be. But ultimately, we follow Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. I might say it like this. Follow me only as I follow Christ. But we're going to follow the Lord and do what he said. And this is, I love this, because as we grow in God's spirit, we grow more like Christ. That's the goal, is Christ-likeness. Just like he said, I want to read that again. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. If you don't already have a scripture to meditate on this week, would you think about that one? Maybe you could learn it and memorize it. Just focus on it. Think about growing more like Jesus. And like Jesus, he'll give us his heart, and we want others to know the Lord too. And that's what glorifies God, is growing in Christ's likeness. And then we get joy again from close fellowship with him and being used by God. You have a call on your life. I'm asking you, will you accept the call today? And wherever that may be, your call is going to be different from mine as an individual and how we walk it out. But ultimately, it's all the same, that we want to follow Christ. And then follow me as I follow Christ. God will use us if we're willing. There was a, y'all remember this military slogan some years ago? If you remember this, I'm gonna start it and I'm gonna ask you to complete it, okay? You ready? It's not just a job, it's an adventure. I want that kind of an attitude in my walk with the Lord. That it's not just, I gotta get up and go to same old routine, and same old, you know, not, I want it to be like, in a sense, we go on a mission trip every day, that I'm just asking, Lord, direct me today. Is there someone I can share a prayer with? Is there someone I can share the good news with? Can I give a testimony today? Is there maybe a work I can do as your ambassador, not so people look to me, but so that others will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? It's that simple. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's not complicate the Great Commission and the Lord's words. So let me just ask you this. Just think about it. First, do you believe? Do you believe God's word? Are you following Jesus? Are you a disciple? And if you're not, will you? Will you take that step today to believe in him? And I would just say this to all of us, whether we can be an example and an influence, a testimony to a handful over the days of our lives or a multitude, I'm just gonna ask, will you be available to follow Jesus and let him use you to reach anyone he can through us? If that's you today, I want to give you a chance right now to just make that commitment before the Lord. There's a little chorus that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, today I pray that you would just draw us to yourself and your will. Help us, Lord. You said count the cost, so help us to think about it, but then help us to commit. You committed to us, help us not to be afraid to commit to you. You said you would help us if we would just do your will. So help us to believe you and do it, and to do it joyfully. And I pray that you would expand the borders of our ministry. Lord, you would help us to reach as a parent, our sons and daughters, maybe grandparents to grandchildren, co-workers, neighbors, friends, whatever the case may be, we're just going to say, help me to follow you faithfully and then use me that I could be an example and light to someone else. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand together? Let's sing this before we go out this morning. I want to ask you to sing it. If you mean it from your own heart to the Lord today, I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
The world behind me.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning,
and though none go with me,
though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Is that your heart today, to follow him and to be able to say, follow me? He loved me and gave himself for me. I want to stay close to him, and I want to be an example for others.